Thank you all again so much, the worship team, for your worship through song this morning. Music is an awesome thing and can touch us in great and mighty ways that other things may not be able to. You know, because it's easy for us to remember songs. And, you know, we catch the tune, we get things in our mind, and it helps us to remember and can help us to remember the points and the help us remember Scripture. So thank you so much for that. You know, I forgot to mention in announcements, sorry. The deacon ballots are on the back table as you go out, as well as the box for you to put them in. So please do that. Today's the last day for a deacon vote and election. So make sure you do that and get those back there so we can get those. And welcome in the new deacons that will be serving coming up this year. So have you ever been so excited about something that you just burst in at the seams? You're just so excited about whatever it may be. You know, it could be anything. You know, think about it. Like, and you just wanted to tell everybody about it. You wanted to tell everybody. It didn't matter who it was. If you knew them or didn't know them, you just wanted to tell people. You were just so excited about that. For me, you know, maybe it's a vacation or trip or a major life event. For me, I think back to before I had kids. You know, I still like to play video games. I just don't get the opportunity to play them as much as I used to because I got two little ones I'm taking care of. And so Titus is actually getting into video games now, so he's excited about that. So, you know, we're getting back into that together. But before Titus and Hannah Joy were born, when a new video game was coming out that I was excited about, I learned everything I could about it. I read everything about it online. I watched gameplay footage on YouTube. I watched any information about it to prepare myself for the new game that was coming out for the excitement. I had friends, and I talked to my friends about it. I'd even try to talk to Holly about it, who, not too big on video games, but, you know, I still talked to her about it, even though she didn't really have an interest in it. You know, I tell all my friends at work, and I had friends who would go to midnight releases. They'd be at the store at midnight, get the game, go home, play it all night and all the next day. You know, I could never do that. I'm not much of one to stay up late, or I get too sleepy. So what I would do is I would actually always, usually if it was a game I was super excited about, I would take the day off of work. I'd be up at GameStop at 10 o'clock whenever they first open, get in there, get it, go home, and play it the rest of the day. And I would tell everybody the exact reason why I was taking the whole day off. That was to get a new video game and play it. Why? Because I was excited about it. It was something that I wanted to tell people about. You know, maybe for you it's not video games. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's that exciting vacation you have coming up that hopefully won't get canceled this year. Maybe it's a major life event that's happening. You know, birth of a grandchild, birth of a child, graduation, whatever it is. We're excited. We want to tell people about it. Or maybe it's the new superhero movie or a new Star Wars movie. Whatever it is, you want to talk about it. You want to talk about the things that excite you. You want to talk about those things. Yet, I feel that we as Christians many times don't treat Christ and our relationship with Christ the same way. We don't share Christ like we share other things we're excited about. We'll talk to anyone about Star Wars, superhero movies, Cowboys, Tar Heels, State, whoever your team is, we'll talk to anybody about that. Start up a conversation with anybody. But yet, when it comes to us witnessing for Christ, a lot of times we don't share the gospel with others. We don't pay attention. We're not looking for opportunities to share the gospel with others. You know, maybe we feel underprepared to share the gospel, but think about it. You know, if you can talk to anybody about anything, you just got to learn. You got to be prepared to go out and share the gospel with others. So as we look today, we're going to be looking at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch that's found in Acts 8, verses 25 to 40. And as we read through this, we're going to see five principles for witnessing. Five principles that we can take, we can follow, and we can copy to prepare us to go out and be better witnesses for Christ where he has put us. So we'll read Acts 25, Acts 8, verse 25 to 40. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south along the road which leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day and for this opportunity we have to come and to learn about your word and to look at this story and look at these principles of witnessing so that we can go out and be better witnesses for you, so that we're excited to go out and share your word with those that we come in contact with. Lord, just help us as we go through, help us to be better witnesses for you and to always point people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, as I've mentioned, I've kind of, you know, given you a heads up as to how long the sermon is going to be, so you can tell when it gets close to the end, since we have five principles. You'll know once we get to the end, and you may be relieved once we get there. So the first thing we see is the principle of sensitivity. The principle of sensitivity, you know, it's important for us to respond to God's leading in our lives. We see that here in this passage, and you know, the Holy Spirit calls us to preach where we are. He calls us to preach. He calls us to share the gospel wherever we find ourselves. You know, we read in Acts 1:8 earlier that, you know, we're called to, you know, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." You know, think about this. You know, we're supposed to be witnesses where we are and witness going out from there. So kind of to show you, I have a map that we have for us. And the map kind of shows, if you can see it, hopefully you can see it, there's a circle around Jerusalem. The circle around Jerusalem is red. That's where the disciples were. That's where they started out. That's where everything happened, right? That's where Jesus and the disciples were all pretty much based, because that was the capital of Israel. So we see that in Acts, right? Starting in Jerusalem. And then Judea and Samaria. Those are the two in the blue circle that's around there. That's the area that's right around Jerusalem, right outside. And then the larger green circle goes into the rest of the earth. Well, at this time, this was the known world. This was the Roman Empire. And yes, of course, the gospel would go further than Rome. And yes, it would go into Asia and it would go into Africa. But this was the start for the church. The disciples were supposed to do that. They were starting in Jerusalem and going out from there. Going out in circles, going out wider. And this actually, Acts 1:8 provides the outline for the book of Acts. Chapters 1 through 5 covers the gospel being preached in Jerusalem. Chapters 6 through 9 covers Judea and Samaria. And chapters 10 through 28 talks about the gospel being preached through the rest of the world at that time. So, it's interesting. So, where can we start being witnesses for Christ? We start where we are. We start where we are. We all have a sphere of influence that we have. It can be where we work. It can be where we eat. It can be where we go to school. It can be our friends. It can be our family. It can be anyone. We all have a sphere of influence that we can witness to. It's important for us to start witnessing there. Because the truth of the matter is, and I heard someone say this, if you are not a witness where God has placed you right now, you can't be a witness if you go to another part of the world. You have to be a witness where you are. Because you know what? It starts right here with us. It starts where we are, and it goes out from there. It goes out from there. So we see that. So as we go back into our passage and we look at that, you know, we see in verse 25 that that's what Philip was doing. Philip was going and he was spreading the gospel wherever he was. It didn't matter where he was, what he was doing. He was spreading it. We see that in 25 where it says, he was preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. They were on the way back from Jerusalem. We don't know exactly where from, but they were passing through Samaria. So he was preaching. He was sharing the gospel with others, pointing others to Christ. You know, the point is here is that we should be willing to share the gospel with others. Be prepared. Have a strategy in mind to go out and preach the gospel to people. Wherever we are, it doesn't matter. And a point here, too, we have to remember. The Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't much like each other. They had a hatred for each other. They had animosity. So a Jew being there preaching the gospel to a Samaritan was difficult. We all remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? He found a man on the side of the road. Two religious leaders from Israel passed by. Two people from Israel passed by. No one helped him. They went to the other side to act like they didn't see him. But this Samaritan, the sworn enemy of the Israelites, did. Helped him out. But yet, that's how we need to be. It doesn't matter who it is. We need to be willing to preach. Doesn't matter what they are, what they look like, what they may believe, or whatever. We need to share the gospel with them. And that needs to be part of our strategy. It's also important that we're spontaneous with our witnessing. Yes, I know that being spontaneous and being strategic are kind of opposites of each other. But yet, what I mean by being spontaneous is that we need to have a strategy in mind. We need to have a plan when we go out. But we don't need to be so set on that plan that we miss opportunities to share the gospel with somebody. We miss opportunities sometimes whenever we're so focused on programs or the target group that we're trying to reach that we don't reach someone who needs Christ more. You know, that's just what happens to us. We just do that. You know, Philip had a plan. They were going back to Jerusalem. We don't know what for. Maybe they were going to have a meeting with other disciples or whatever. We don't know. But yet, Philip wasn't so tied on his plan of going back to Jerusalem that he missed the opportunity to listen to the Spirit's leading him where God wanted him at that point. So it's important for us to listen to the Spirit, to have that close relationship with God so that we can listen to the Spirit so he can guide us to people that we need to. So what do you think would happen if Philip wouldn't have listened to God and would have just gone on straight to Jerusalem? Well, this Ethiopian eunuch may have never heard, may have never understood, may have gotten frustrated with not understanding what he was reading, and may have never come to Christ. So we never know what effect us listening to the Spirit will have on someone else's life. So it's important for us to be spontaneous. The next principle of witnessing that we will look at today is the principle of observation. And that's to keep your eyes open, to pay attention to people around you. It's easy for us to get stuck in our own little world, focused on ourselves, and not look out. I don't know about you all, but pretty much everywhere, whenever I go somewhere, I'm always paying attention to what's going on. I look to see who's around me, how far they are from me, who's coming up behind me, just to make sure that me and my family are safe. Because you never know what people will do to you. In the same way, we need to pay attention to people. Be looking for opportunities. Keeping our eyes focused so that we can see people. See people's needs. Meet people. And have the opportunities to witness. We see in this principle in verse 27 to 30 of our passage. We see that Philip, he went down to where he was supposed to be. And he went down there. He didn't know who he was supposed to see. Spirit didn't tell him at that point that he was going to go and see a eunuch in a chariot, and that's who you're going to witness to. No. Philip had no idea, whenever God told him where to go, who he was going to be witnessing to. He got down there, he looked, and he saw somebody. He saw the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot, and he listened. The Spirit told him to go to him. Philip listened to where God told him to go, and now he was on the lookout for who he was supposed to witness to. We see that there. And so, are we always keeping our eyes open for opportunities to share the gospel with others, to witness to others, to show them Christ? You know, are we missing the opportunities maybe because of spiritual dullness? Maybe we don't have that relationship with God that we should. Maybe we're so focused on our own world, what we have going on, that we don't take the time to look out and see people and see opportunities for us to share the gospel with others. You know, it's so easy for us in our world today to get stuck in our own little routine. It's like we go from place to place, don't have any time in between. We go from 6 in the morning till midnight and just go, go, go. Don't take the time to stop and look and listen to other people and listen to the Spirit leading us to witness to somebody. We keep our head down. We don't acknowledge anybody. We don't look for opportunities. Once again, maybe it comes because we're fearful. We don't know what to say. But we as Christians should be sharing the gospel wherever we go. We should. And all of us are called to be missionaries. You know, I think so many times we get the idea in our mind of a missionary. We think of someone who goes to Africa or Asia or somewhere else. And those are the missionaries. You know, we like to keep the missionaries, you know, over there. We don't think about missions right here. The truth is that we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to go and make disciples. We see that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Or, excuse me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I forgot that part. But we should keep our eyes open. We just sometimes just get so focused on our own lives, on our own comfort, on our own thing, that we're unwilling to step out. You know, another point here is that because Philip was attuned to the Spirit, he was listening to the Spirit. He had that relationship with God. We see in verse 30, whenever he was told where to go, he didn't just slowly walk to the chariot. It says he ran. He got there as fast as he could to share the gospel. It could have been he ran because he was about to miss the opportunity because the chariot was going. The chariot was going full force. And he had to get his attention somehow. We don't know. But yet, we need to have that sense of urgency when it comes to witnessing. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's okay, I'll just tell them tomorrow. I'll just tell them tomorrow. But we never know what's going to happen. So when Philip got there, the Ethiopian eunuch was obviously prepared. He was ready to receive Christ. And we see in verse 30, he was already reading from Isaiah. And so we see that there. And so it's important for us as Christians to keep our eyes open, to be looking for opportunities to witness. Just like we look for to make sure that we're safe, to make sure we have a safe place to go, to know who's around us. We need to do that same thing as Christians when we go out and witness. We need to be looking for opportunities, looking for people, seeing them where they are and bringing them to Christ. So the third principle we're going to be looking at is it's important for us to share the Bible. It's the principle of Scripture. You know, the Bible is our primary source concerning everything we know about God, what we know about Him. You know, we should always share Scripture with people. That's why it's important for us to have that relationship with God, so that we know Scripture, so that we can share it with others, not just keep it for ourselves. You know, we see that here. So Philip came, and he was, like I said, the Ethiopian eunuch was ready. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? And, you know, his response was, you know, I can't. How can I? Unless someone guides me. Unless someone shows me, how can I understand and know what I'm reading? You know, that seems like a common sense statement, but it's so true if you just stop and think about it. You know, how can someone know Jesus and understand fully what it means to be a Christian if we don't tell people, if no one tells them? You know, just think about that. Think about how that if you want to learn something, what do? You have to learn it. You just don't know it. You know, you just don't know what to do. Yeah, some things may come more naturally to us than others, but we just don't know. For me, I'm not very handy. You can ask Collie about this. You know, I don't know a lot about tools. Fixing things is not my forte. I more destroy things than fix things. But there have been times whenever I've fixed things. For instance, I've had to replace the heating element in our dryer twice in the past 5-6 years. I've learned that because in one of my previous jobs, I dealt with appliances a lot. So I learned basic things about doing appliances by that. I learned it. People need to learn about Christ. And the only way you can learn is by someone showing you how it's done. I can't go out and fix an air conditioning unit. I have no idea what I'm looking at. But yet, someone would have to come and show me how to do that. It's the same way for us as Christians. We have to show people, share the Bible with people, show them what it means to be a Christian. We live in the 21st century. I read this story not that long ago. This lady actually built her own house. She, you know, not a carpenter, not a builder. She built her own house by watching YouTube tutorials of how to do things. Run electricity, run plumbing, all that stuff. She watched YouTube. She went and found the place. We need to be that source for the world. To show them Christ, to show them what it means to be a Christian, sharing the Bible with them, helping them understand what it means, helping them fully understand what it means to be a Christian. You know, maybe you struggle with sharing the Bible because you don't know it yourself. You're not having that relationship with God. It's never too late. You can still learn. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You can learn. Be in the Bible, learning more about God, to listen to His Spirit, and then to be able to share that with others. Or maybe you're new on your walk of faith. You're new in your discipleship journey. Being prepared, learning more about the Bible is the best way to learn. To go out and to make disciples. Because we all need to be disciples who go out and make disciples. We're called to multiply. We're called to multiply. And so we need to go out and make disciples, share the word with others. The fourth principle of witnessing that we're going to look at is the principle of Christ. And this is that we need to point people to Christ. We need to point people towards Christ. If we don't, and we point towards other things, towards rules, standards that we may hold, and point people to things other than Christ, it really muddies the water. It really messes it up. We've missed the point entirely when it comes to witnessing. What we should do is just point people to Christ. Show them what He has done for them. Show them. We see in verse 35 that this is what Philip did. Philip opened his mouth, shared the gospel, preached Jesus to him, starting in the passage where he was, which talks about Jesus, and then got and told him about Jesus and what He had done. Because here in Acts, the church is new. Jesus ascended in Acts 1. And here we are in Acts 8. And so it's not that much longer after Jesus had ascended to heaven that we find ourselves in this story. But yet He was sharing the gospel. He was pointing people to Christ. What would you do in this situation if you found yourself in a situation similar to what Philip found himself? Think about that. Philip found himself in a situation where someone was reading a scroll, which would have been challenging to get a hold of back in these days. It's not easy. It wasn't easy to get a hold of your own copy of anything back then. You know, we're kind of spoiled because we all have probably hundreds of books, or we have access to hundreds of books. Even digitally, we have access to millions of books. You know, we have access, all this access. It's hard for us, I think, sometimes to understand what it was like back in the Bible. Because everything had to be done. There was no printing presses. You know, Gutenberg hadn't invented the movable type printing press yet. But everything had to be done by hand, on paper, slowly. And paper was expensive. It wasn't cheap like you can get now. We go and we buy 500 pack of paper for, you know, what, $5-6 or something like that. Whereas it probably would have cost more than that for just a single scroll. So keep that in mind. And this man obviously had access to money. He was in charge of the treasury of the king of Candace, who was the queen of the Ethiopians. So as we come here, Philip comes to him and he's reading scripture. What would you do if you saw someone reading scripture? Maybe in a doctor's office, airport waiting room, on the bus on your way to school, wherever it was, what would you do? I think a lot of times we think, oh, we assume, oh, they're Christian. They're reading the Bible. A non-Christian wouldn't read the Bible. And while that's mostly true, most Christians do read the Bible, but yet you never know who has shared the gospel with him before. And maybe they don't understand. Maybe they are like the Ethiopian eunuch. They don't understand what they're reading. They see it, and they don't know. And so they just need someone to point to them. Would you be someone who would talk to them about it? Maybe comment on it? Ask them, hey, you know, I see you're reading the Bible. Are you a Christian? Do you understand what you read? We should never assume that someone understands. Maybe that's the opportunity that God's pointing us to. He's brought us to that point in time for us to share the gospel with that person. This goes back to all the other principles we've talked about, paying attention, keeping our eyes open for opportunities. And this might be the opportunity that you have to witness to this person. But whenever we add Christ and we point to things outside Scripture, it can muddy the waters. We should point people to Christ through the Bible and Christ alone. There are many things we can do. We have what we call the Romans Road of Salvation. You know, you think about that, and there's, you know, verses like Romans 3:23, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Leading people through that, showing people John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just sharing some basic scriptures with somebody is a great way for us to point people to Christ, to witness to them. Because if we don't, we've missed that point. We don't want to add rules or, you know, beliefs in there like you need to be wearing this whenever you come to church or things like that. Because that can turn people away. God accepts us where we are and he changes us as we grow in our walk with him. He changes us to not have the desires. He changes us to obey his word. Obey what he says in here. Not because we fear him, but because we love him. Whenever you love somebody, you're willing to do things that you might not normally do. Or things you might want to do, you won't do it because you love that person. That's the way our relationship is with God. We need to point people to Christ, show them how much he loved us, and how much that we love him because of what he did for us in dying on the cross for our sins. And the fifth and final principle that we were looking at is the principle of response. The principle of response. We want to encourage anyone we witness to respond to Christ. We should always encourage them to ask them, you know, do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know more? Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Whatever we may say, you know, you want to encourage them to repent of their sins, ask forgiveness for their sins, and put their faith and trust in God. Trust in God alone. Confess that he is the Lord of their lives. You know, we didn't have Vacation Bible School this year, but usually every year of Vacation Bible School, we always go over the ABCs of coming to Christ, right? You admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and forgives your sins. And then confess that he is the Lord of your life. We should always want to encourage a reaction from people. Encourage a response from people. And we see that here. Philip comes there and the Ethiopian eunuch asks, well, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? What stops me from being baptized? And then Philip says, believe that Jesus is Lord of your life. And then he says, I believe that Jesus is Lord of my life. And they went down and got baptized. We should always encourage the people that we witness to come to Christ, to get to know Christ, and then to be baptized. You know, that's important for us. Now, we don't want to twist arms, hold guns to people's heads, and force them to become Christians. It's a decision that they have to make, and they have to make alone. It's an individual decision that they will make when they are ready to make it. And that's a hard thing for us to do. We always want somebody to come to Christ. But yet, we don't want to force them. Because the decision at that point may not be true. It may not be where they stay in the Christian walk. They may get discouraged, turn aside. We don't know. But yet, we should always encourage them to decide. We don't want to just put another notch in our spiritual belt for someone that we've led to Christ. We want a true conversion. A true conversion. The thing is that shouldn't discourage you from witnessing. You may say, well, if they're not coming to Christ, why should I witness to them? Well, because it's more than just about you. You know, we have this mentality where it's all about me and how I feel. And I want to be the person to lead them to Christ. And that's all good. We do want that. But yet, it's more than that. It's all about bringing someone to Christ, bringing another soul into the kingdom of heaven. That's what the ultimate goal for us witnessing is. It's not about us. It's about God. We're not pointing people to us. We're pointing people to God. You know, like I said, it's difficult. Sometimes we plant the seed, and someone else may harvest it. Whenever I was in college, getting my master's, we read a book in my evangelism class. I can't remember the exact number, but it said that the average person has to hear the gospel, I think it was like, I know the number, first number was 7, it was 7.2 or 7.4 times before they come to Christ. Now, of course, that's average. That's not okay, I mean, because, you know, it's got the 0.2 in there, so, I mean, you know, you don't fifth of the way hear the gospel, but the point is there. It's like it can be someone who can turn from Christ the first time they hear it, or it may take someone 50, 60, 70 times hearing the gospel, being witnessed to before they turn to Christ. Don't get discouraged. It's a decision they have to make. They have to decide what they're going to do. They have to decide where they want to spend eternity. Some people catch on faster. Some people are slower. But you know what? Be willing to follow up with the person. Just because someone says no now doesn't mean they might not say yes the second time you witness to them or the third. Be available for follow-up. Point them in the way. Have them read passages in the Bible that may help point them to Christ and show them their need for a Savior. Show them there. Be willing, be able to preach the gospel to them, to show them the way. Even if it's not the first time, even if it's the 50th or 60th time you've talked to that person about Christ. And of course, we should always be encouraging everyone to repent from their sins, turn to Christ, and be baptized. So as we've looked today, we've seen the five principles of witnessing that we see in Acts 8, 25 to 40. We see that. You know, maybe you've seen things and you've sat back and you say, well, you know, I'm doing those already. Great. Keep on doing them. Maybe you're not. Maybe you find yourself lacking in an area. Whatever it is, you know, it's never too late for us. The truth is, we're all called to be witnesses for Christ. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the leaders of the church. Every single one of us is called to be witnesses for Christ. Each of us has a sphere of influence that is greater than anyone else. It's greater. Just think about it. If we shared the gospel with everyone that we could, and take those opportunities where God leads us, church would grow, just like it did in Acts. Just like it did. You look at how much the church grew and how rapidly the church grew whenever they were going out and preaching in Acts. We need to have that same kind of fervor when it comes to witnessing. We need to go out, share the gospel everywhere we go. Share the gospel. You know, if you know someone who's a Christian and you don't know they're Christian, talk to them about it. Find out where they are and bring them to the knowledge. Show them Christ through your life and through your witness to them. You know, don't just go through life talking about things that don't matter. You know, yes, we may enjoy things like superhero movies, video games, sports, whatever it is, we'll talk to people about. But yet, sometimes we just don't share our faith like we should. Because we never know if it's going to be the last time that person will ever hear the gospel or you'll ever hear from them. I mentioned in the beginning, I love music. Music can touch you in great and mighty ways. One of my favorite Christian groups is Casting Crowns. And I've probably said that a million times. Every time I get up here and preach, I pretty much quote one of their songs. But that's just how impactful their songs are. And how music is in general. So they have a song called Here I Go Again. You know, it deals with the importance of sharing the gospel with people when you have the opportunity to. And here's the words to it. The first verse says, Father, hear my prayer. I need the perfect words, words that they will hear and know they're straight from you. I don't know what to say. I only know it hurts to see my only friend slowly fade away. Think about that. Think about that verse. Maybe you have a friend who's not saved, or you don't know their spiritual condition. Maybe you need the words from God. Like I said, we trust in God, and He can give us the words to say. He can give us the words to say. And I hope that it hurts you to know that people are going to hell. People are. And then the chorus goes, so maybe this time I'll speak the words of life with your fire in my eyes, but that old familiar fear is tearing at my words. What am I so afraid of? Fear plays a great role in us. We don't know what to say. Maybe we got fear of not knowing what to say. Fear of what are they going to think about us if I tell them about Christ? Are they going to not like me anymore? Are they not going to be my friend? And then the chorus continues, because here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not his friend. This may be my last chance to tell him you love him. But here I go again. We'll talk about things. We'll talk about things that we love. We'll talk about these things that don't matter for eternity. Is there anything wrong with talking about those? No. But the most important thing for us as Christians should be our eternal security and those of our friends. It's funny, Titus and I, before we get to the second verse, Titus and I were out yesterday, you know, doing something at a park, and we were walking around, and he said, you know, water is important, but it's the second most important thing. The most important thing is God and Jesus. Yeah, that made me proud, but it made me ashamed too. I'm like, do I think like that? Do I think that God is the most important thing in my life? And we should be wanting to knowing that and sharing that with others as we go. Verse 2 goes, Lord, you love him so. You gave your only son. If he will just believe, he will never die. But how then will he know what he has never heard? Lord, he has never seen mirrored in my life. It's important for us to share the gospel with others, to witness to others, to tell others, point others to Christ. It's important for us to do that. As we come to our time of invitation, where are you at when it comes to your witness? You're sharing your faith with others. You know, are you actively looking for opportunities? Do you have a plan in place for how you're going to witness, what you're going to do? Prepare yourself to go out and witness. You know, is your relationship such that with God that you're sensitive to His leading, to Him pointing you in a certain direction, to a certain person of what to say? You know, maybe you find yourself and you're a Christian, and you just need to know more, learn more. We'll be more than happy, anyone here would be more than happy to help you grow in your discipleship journey, to become more like Christ and know and understand Christ more. Maybe you're not a Christian today. You find yourself that you want to receive Him, you want to start your journey and start bringing others to Christ. Whatever your need is, you know, we'll be happy to talk with you, whether you want to start your relationship or kickstart your relationship back with God. Maybe you've fallen out of witnessing, falling out of sharing your testimony because of one thing or another. But yet, whatever your need is, as we pray, let's quietly respond to what God has for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come to your house and to worship you. And Lord, we're so thankful for all you've done. Help us as we go out today. Help us to be actively preparing to share your word, to be looking for opportunities, to be sharing you, pointing people to you, sharing scripture, and then encouraging people to come to you no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where we go. Lord, help us, guide us, direct us as only you can. And maybe if we don't know the words to say to that person, give us the words that we may see them come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming this morning. Once again, a reminder, if you haven't turned in your deacon ballot so far, there's more back there, and then the containers back there to put them in. And as we go out, go out orderly, social distancing, thank you all. Let's go out and look for opportunities to make disciples.